Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
All right. Well, can you join me right now in welcoming all those who are joining with us online right now from all over the world? Come on. Will you welcome them? God bless you. We are so glad you chose to worship God with us today. And thank you for coming out and worshiping God with us here in Dothan. And I just want to say, this is the way we always try to begin a brand new series, a brand new year, and specifically every message is with a declaration over God's Word. So can you grab your copy of God's Word or turn on your tablet, PC, or your cell phone, wherever you have God's Word today, and can you say this with me? Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. I can become what God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's word, I'll receive God's word, and I will obey God's word because I love his word. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it is a happy new year because you get to sit next to me. Just go ahead and let them know. That's just, you just started it out right. How many of you have ever had one of those days where nothing goes right? You ever had one of those days, right? That's called Murphy's Law, right? How many of you are very familiar with Murphy's Law? You know, when we started last week in this Living Stress-Free series, what I said is this. I'd like for us to kind of establish an idea that we're pretending that we're just together in my living room. And that we're sitting over a cup of coffee. Of course, that's not what I believe. I don't believe in coffee because it's sin. But no, I'm just kidding. I say that because my wife loves her coffee. And but what I'll do is I'll show you that she gave me this little mug. It says hubby on it. And I think that she gave it to me so that I would drink coffee. I'm not going to succumb to that temptation. I am, I'm a child of God, so I'll be, I'm just, no, but, no, I joke with her all the time about it, but I have my own personal addiction to Skittles, so, I can't talk. I have my own problems, but no, when we think about all the things that could go wrong in those days that, you know, you think, boy, could there be one more thing that happens? I got a call on a Sunday right before church. It was just a few weeks ago that I received a phone call from my daughter, and Cameron was obviously shaken up on the phone, and she said, Daddy, Mommy's been in an accident. And at that point, I really, you know, that's the last thing you want to hear is one of your loved ones has been in an accident. And my wife was bringing my daughter to a friend's house, and they were traveling, and someone was driving, I guess, too fast or not paying attention, hit my wife, and then slowed down for just a minute, and then sped off. And, you know, there are certain things that I feel like I'm, you know, kind of a nice guy. Like I really feel like I try to operate in forgiveness. But I've really battled with forgiving someone who would not only hit my spouse. I mean, that's an accident. You know, certain things that can be not avoidable. But then to hit and run, to not even check to see if my wife or my daughter is okay. And so I called after having spoken with the officer. I drove as quickly as I could. I left y'all in good hands with our other pastoral team that took the service that evening and went to be with my wife to check on her and my daughter, rushed there as quickly as I could. But here's what happened in that process. As I was driving, I still didn't know exactly all the details of what had happened. I didn't know exactly, because my wife couldn't speak to me at the time. There was an officer there. And so I didn't know what the repercussions would be either of the vehicle or of either one of them. But I just began praying, like most of us do during that time. asking the Lord to watch over them. And even to take away the fear of that might be in. If you've ever been in an accident before, you may have felt a little apprehension getting back in the car again. Or if you were young at the time, you might even remember being in an accident as a young child. And you, to this day, you could close your eyes and remember exactly how you felt in that moment. You know what I'm talking about? Because trauma has that tendency. So I just began praying to that end. We talked to the officer, got back home and reported it the next day to our insurance company, who told us, if you weren't able to identify the car, and if the police aren't able to find out who's responsible, then you're responsible, and it's going to come out of your deductible. Even though it was their fault, you have to pay for some of it. A little unfair. Well, then, I also, the next phone call after you call the insurance company, and after you've spoken to an officer, and then you take care of the insurance, the next thing you have to do is what? You got to get the car fixed. So you have to go to the body shop. So I called one of the local body shops that was recommended by my insurance company, and they said, well, is your vehicle operable? Is it still running? And I said, yes, it is. And they said, okay, well, you can bring that by in March, and we'll get that taken care of for you. And I said, well, you know, no thank you. Maybe I should call another body shop who's a little less busy. And they kind of laughed over the phone. They said, I don't think you understand. Every body shop in this region is exactly this way. Anybody know why? Hurricane Michael came through, and there were so many cars that were devastated during that storm that it's backed up. And so those cars especially that are operable, they've put on the end of the list. And so we get to drive every day with the reminder that some knucklehead didn't stop to check on my spouse. Now, that may not be what you see when you look at the back of our vehicle, but every time I see it, that's what I see. Now, can I just tell you, I think God is teaching me a valuable lesson. I thank God that he spared my wife, he spared my daughter. It certainly could have been much worse than it was. And many of you that have experienced accidents, you've walked through the pain and devastation, long-term effects physically or even mentally and emotionally. Others of you even lost family members. So I'm only getting tiny little pieces, tiny little glimpses, but the Lord is reminding me, as I was beginning a brand new series called Living Stress-Free, he gave me an object lesson. But what I found was, as I started studying those who have been through some trauma, some experiences that were a little more challenging than mine, what I found was other people walk through challenge too. Here's a guy I want to introduce you to named Brian Heiss. Serious true story, had one of those days, okay? Brian Heiss of Provo, Utah, had a very bad day. First, his apartment flooded with a broken pipe from an upstairs apartment, and his manager told him to rent a water vacuum. So he went outside and found that his car had a flat tire. So he left his flooded apartment and got ready to go get the water vac, but had to first fix the flat. So he went, got the flat fixed, and came back to this flooded apartment with a water vac and realized he had very little gas in the tank, tried to remind himself, get some gasoline, went in, started to vacuum up all of the water, and while he was standing in the water, he plugged the vacuum into the electrical circuit and got a horrible electrical shock. So now he's shocked, and there's still water. But what he now found, he was getting ready to leave to take care of some other things, and found that the water had stood for long enough where it had swelled the front door, and now the door jamb and the door were one. They were merged, and he had to yell as loud as he could and keep banging on the door till finally one of the neighbors literally kicked his door down. When he walked outside, he realized that someone had stolen his car. True story. Thankfully, there was very little gas in the tank, and it had ran out of gas, and the burglar took off, and he found his car a couple of blocks away. He later had a military ceremony, and after he had pushed his car to the gas station and gotten gas in the tank, and he went to his military installation, he was severely injured because he sat on his bayonet. Not the way you want to get hurt. While he was getting stitches at the emergency room, he had four canaries, birds that were there in the apartment. They all died from the plaster falling from the walls and the ceiling because of the water that was in there. So he got home not only to dead birds, but he walked in, took two steps, slipped on the damp carpet, and hurt his tailbone and ended up back in the same emergency room. Reports said that Brian wondered if God wanted him dead, but just kept missing. And Mama said there'd be days like this. I don't know what days you've been through, but what I want to do is invite you to this seat right here, and let's just talk about it for a minute. What do you do when you're worried, when you're stressed, when you're overwhelmed? What do you do when you have a day like that? Philippians 4:6 gives us kind of a glimpse into God's recommended way of escape. Look at this in Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry. Everybody say, don't worry. Instead, pray about everything, which is exactly what we're about to do, launching into 2019. We don't have to enter 2019 with worries. We enter into 2019 with prayer. And here's what it says. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And it doesn't say, and wait for him to answer before you thank him. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. So when you're stressed, guess what? You can either worry or worship. You can either praise or panic. And guess what? If you worry, it's hard to worship. But if you worship, it's hard to worry. Now, let me give you a sad prediction. This is, I don't like to prophesy over negative things over a new year, but I have one prophecy that I'm almost sure is going to come true in every life in 2019, and that is you're going to have at least one problem in 2019. I know that's just solid good news. But what I want to do is really to set you up in the foundation where you're able to handle it and handle it biblically and handle it in faith. Now, here's the way you do it. You have to begin with worship. And worship, when most people think of worship, they just think about a song or music. But that's not worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is in all ways. The sermon, the celebration at the beginning, the celebration at the end, yes, the music. But when you walk out of these doors, you can live a life of worship toward God. And I'm going to express how to do that in some very simple ways. To worship God continually is what the Bible says. Every aspect of your life can be worship to God. So what does it mean to really worship? How do you worship? Why do you worship? Well, let me give you some ABCs. And I'll bring it all the way to A, B, C, D, E, F today. And I'm going to bring you to one of my favorite stories in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you want to turn there right now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is what you do when you feel overwhelmed. What, you know, let me think about this story in light of what you're worried about. Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about your finances? Are you worried about your family? Are you worried about your kids? You're worried, are you ever going to be able to get married? Are you ever going to find the right person? Worried about if you're ever going to have a baby? Worried about whatever it is. It's got to connect to this story somehow, some way. If you feel overwhelmed, I want you to put yourself in this story. And let me give you the background to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This story begins with a battle. Three enemies, nations that were ganging up on Israel, and there was the king of Israel, King Jehoshaphat. How'd you like that name? That'd be nice. I'm sure they gave him a nickname, like Joe. or Fatty, or Joe Fat, or whatever, I don't know. It had to be with a PH, anyway, for J-Fat. So now think about J-Fat and his predicament, these three enemy nations ganging up on him. If you've ever felt ganged up in your life, then you're in good company with J-Fat. And I want you to see this story in light of that as we look at the six aspects of worship. For 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. Not to be confused with stalactites and stalagmites and electrolytes. Okay, these are just enemy nations, right, that are ganging up on this one nation, Israel. It says, join forces to make war on King Jehoshaphat. They said, a huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you. There's no time to waste. All right, so the odds are 3-1. Three enemy nations lining up saying, we want to annihilate you. Okay? So get the picture here. What do you do? Well, let me tell you what Jehoshaphat did. And let me explain why we can do it and how easy it really is if you just break it down in bite-sized pieces. When you start to feel overwhelmed, here's the first thing you do. Letter A, ask God for help. Ask God for help. Write that down. Ask God for help. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to God. Look at what it says in verse 3. Jehoshaphat was afraid. By the way, fear is not your problem. Fear is a natural result. It's a response. It's a human response. It's what you do with fear that causes the problem, right? So when you face a problem and you begin to get afraid, don't let it intimidate you. Let it motivate you to pray and worship. Because fear can be a good thing if it turns you to God. Now look at this. He says, Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he decided to, here it is, ask. Everybody say ask. To ask the Lord what to do. He announced that everyone in Judah should fast during this special time of prayer to God. That's why we're doing this in 2019. We're starting this year with fasting and prayer. It's so important. Now, here's Jehoshaphat's first reaction. It might have been fear, but his response was to pray. And what I don't like is when people say, well, Pastor, I guess all we can do now is pray. Like that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. All we can do is talk to the creator of the universe who has all the power in the palm of his hand. It's all we can do, Pastor. No, that's the first and greatest thing we can do is talk to our maker and ask him for help, right? That's why we have this week of fasting and prayer. That's why we have those connection cards, right? This connection card has an option for you right at the bottom. If you'd like to receive prayer, you can partner. We can partner together in prayer, and you can write those prayer requests down, and I encourage you to do that. So letter A is ask. The letter B, believe. Write that down. Believe God can handle your situation. Believe God can handle your situation. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat went and stood before them, and the Bible says he prayed aloud. And then verses 6 through 12 show us how to pray when you feel stressed and overwhelmed and worried. Two key things to remind yourself, write this down. First, you got to remind yourself who God is. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Listen, God is all powerful. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too small for God that you can't pray about it. The Bible tells us that with God, all things that are possible. But look at verse 6. It says, "You're not the God, or are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms and nations, and power and might are all in your hands. No one can withstand you." So he takes his eyes off his problem and he puts his eyes on God's power. Now, the second thing that he does here, and you can remind yourself of this as well, is not just who God is, but also what God has done. Remind yourself of every good thing God has done in your past. How many would say God blessed you at least one time in your whole life? Then that means you can remind yourself of what God's done. Jehoshaphat recalls these times in the past where God helped other people. Verse 7, didn't you drive out those who lived in the land when your people arrived? He goes all the way back to Moses who led the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land. And he says, God, you helped him win that battle. Now, Lord, you can do it again. So when you pray, you're asking God for help. Then you're believing he can help and he's got the power to do it. You remind yourself who God is and what he's done. And in verses 8 through 11, Jehoshaphat basically goes through three different aspects or areas of prayer in dealing with distress, dealing with physical needs, and dealing with material needs. Letter C, confess my inadequacy. And you can write that down, confess. You got to confess your inadequacy, and that takes humility. You got to start with saying, God, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the power within me, the creativity, the skill set, the ability to do it on my own. God, I need your help. Verse 12 says, we are powerless. Now remember in verse 6, he said, God, you're all powerful. Now in verse 12, we're saying, we're powerless. We're powerless against the mighty armies that are about to attack us. We don't know what to do. And it can be difficult to say, I can't do it by myself. Remember when you were a kid and you first tied your shoes for the first time, or you know, you were trying to get your mom's attention, you were going to go down that very tall slide at the park, and you were going to do it what? All by yourself. Look at this, Mom. I did it all by myself. And Jim Gaffigan, one of the comedians, has said, you go from that feeling when you're a child of excitement and independence, I can do it all by myself. And as you get old, you go to that song, all by myself, right? That's where you move from and where you move to. The older you get. Listen, friends, yes, we become more independent as we get older, but the more independent from our parents as we get older, what we should become is more dependent on God, our source, the ultimate source for our life. So we confess our inadequacy. The Bible says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you know that if you want to attract God to you, you know what gives that attraction? Is humility. He says he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He draws in the humble. He connects to the humble. He loves and repairs brokenness when there's humility. John 15 says, apart from God, you can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So you start with saying, Lord, I can't do this apart from you. Don't repress it. You got to express it. Say, God, I can't do it. Letter D. So we ask for God's help. We believe God can help. We confess we need his help. D, we depend on God to help save us. We depend on God to save us. Verses 12 and 13, Jehoshaphat prayed, we don't know what to do, but we are looking to you. Look at that. He was a poet and he didn't know it. Look at that. Right? Jehoshaphat, the first rapper. Freestyle, nonetheless. We don't know what to do, but we're looking for you. Whatever it was, I don't know. All right. We're looking to you for help. All the men stood before. Look at this. I like how it's worded here. All the men stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. Notice the men set the example of prayer and fasting. The men carved the way. The ones that were strongest or seemed to carry the greatest load of protection and provision become the ones that show they're most dependent on God. Can I just say it like this? Fathers, husbands, if you want to make your spouse or your children really feel secure, you know what the best thing you can do is show your dependence on God. Because when they think they're only following you, then they know you're only as good as your best day, your best moment, your best intellectual opportunity, your greatest moment of strength. But they see you in your weak times. They see you in your feeble moments. And if they know you're dependent on God, the greater and more, the more intelligent, the more powerful, the one who has everything in his control, when he finds a place, that man finds a place of dependence on the God of the universe, it brings security to the entire household. So the best thing you can do, men, is worship. In troubled times, the best thing you can do is worship. Get on your knees with your family and pray. The best thing you can do is go to your family and say, I don't have all the answers, but I know the God that does. And they partnered together in prayer and fasting. Families, whole families, fasted and prayed. And I believe you can do that. Men in this house, you can lead the way in prayer and fasting through this season. You can be the ones that lead the way. And listen, I know I made a you know, kind of a joke about, you know, the idea of Alabama football being, you know, one of the most important things. And listen, I just have to say this one more time. And I'm a football fan, and I'm an Alabama fan, just so happened to be. Even though my money went to Auburn with our first daughter, I could not believe the irony of God's got a sense of humor. But I really want to encourage all of us, as diehard a fan as you happen to be of any team, can you please let the more important things of life always take priority? Can you always remember, if you have a winning or a losing season, that God is still God and He's still in control? Don't ever let the outcome of a game control your worship or make you throw something at your TV and make a fool of yourself in front of your family. I'm just saying, can you please function as godly men and women of faith, knowing win or lose, God is ultimately in control. Can we just say that? Can we believe that? Can we support that? And all of those people who were not football fans started clapping the loudest. I felt it in the room. That's okay. That's all right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But so when we get worried, we need to worship. Now, let me say another thing that's really important for our dependence on God. What shows our true dependence on God? The first step of our faith is baptism. And if you have not been baptized, we're about ready to launch into this baptism service, this celebration on the 20th. And I'm going to ask you right now, this commitment card in the seat pocket in front of you. Some of you, you may have prayed a prayer and made Christ Lord of your life even before we took those communion elements. Would you fill this out and let us know? Check the box telling us you made a decision to commit your life to Christ for the first time, or you're recommitted your life to Christ. You can turn that into Michelle and I. We'll be out in the foyer on your way out at our Connection Cafe to greet those who are first-time guests. Those of you joining with us for the first time, we want to give you a gift for hanging out with us today. But if you'll take that card and fill it out, letting us know you made a decision for the Lord. Or before the end of this service, I'm going to pray a prayer and give you opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life or to recommit your life to Christ. Go ahead and fill that out, letting us know, because we all need prayer support. And we're going to pray over these needs. But the next thing I want to let you know is it also says, I'd like to be contacted about water baptism. And I'm going to ask you right now, you may have been waiting and waiting and waiting. Maybe you were sprinkled as a child, and you don't even remember the celebration. You don't remember the ceremony. Listen, I'm not saying it didn't count. I'm just saying the Bible shows that Jesus, when he was grown up, that the thing that he did before he launched his ministry was he got baptized. So he made a willful decision. And I'm asking you, if you've not made a willful decision, you've not done that as an adult, or maybe it's been a long time since you've been baptized, maybe there's a lot of things that have happened in your life, and you've since come back to the Lord, I challenge and encourage each of you right now, if you're feeling that in your spirit and you know what I'm saying is right, can you take a moment and fill this card out letting us know you want to be baptized? I would be honored. We would be delighted. We would celebrate. We'd make a party out of that experience for you. You'd say, Mark, but you don't know. I don't like how I look with my hair wet. You know what? I don't know what your excuse is. Don't let that excuse be a missed opportunity for you to do what is biblical, the biblical next step in your journey of faith. So I challenge you to do that. Get connected, and we're going to celebrate with you on January 20th. All right. Now, verse 15, look at what it says. This is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. And read it with me. Look at what it says. Read it with me. The battle is not yours, but God's. You know why you're always tired and stressed out and worried? Because you've been fighting a battle that was never yours to fight. It's God's battle, and you're trying to fight a battle that God never intended you to fight. God's saying, I don't want you to fight every battle. I want you to trust me in the aspect of some of these battles. We get stressed because we want to fight God's battle for him instead of letting God fight. Listen, you need to retire as the CEO of the universe. Can you just go ahead and do that? Just lay that title down and let God be God of the universe. See, it's not you letting God down. You're not letting God hold you up. That's what's happening. Now, I've gone on a number of flights over the years. And what I do on every flight is when the airline, you know, the pilot gets on and says, you know, get ready for takeoff. Of course, my seatbelt is fastened and all of that, and I've turned off my cell phone device or put it on airplane mode exactly like they told me to do. When they start heading down the runway, you know, as soon as the plane starts to take off, I start flapping my arms. Yeah. Every flight, hundreds of flights around the country for all these years, I just start flapping my arms as fast as I go. And the faster they go down the runway, the faster I start flapping. And I don't stop flapping till the end of the flight. And the stewardess always comes over to me and says, sir, can I help you? And I say, I am helping this plane get off the ground. Is that what I do? Come on. Some of you have been flapping. Trying to get your life up off the ground, and God is saying, listen, I can do this. I can carry you through this if you'll just trust me. You know, it's interesting. Lifeguards, one of the first things that they are taught is that you can't save someone who's drowning if they're trying to save themselves. They're flapping their arms, they're flailing, and often they've said that person that is flapping and flailing can actually take a lifeguard down with them. So they wait till they're done flapping. Come on now. Great play on words. And they grab them and they bring them to shore. I wonder if God's trying to spare you some things. He's waiting for you. And finally when you say, God, I'm going to depend on you. And he says, finally, now I can save you. For some of you, God's been waiting to save you for years. And he's just waiting on you to give your life over to him. Now, verse 17, look at this. It says, you won't need to fight this battle. Just stand strong. Everybody say, stand strong. Stand strong in your place, and you will see the Lord will save you. In that verse, 2 Chronicles 20:17, by the way, just a little reference point, that's the exact middle verse of the Old Testament. Doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. Just thought I'd throw that in you. Okay, that's the only thing you're going to get out of today. It's the middle verse of the Old Testament. All right, but two times in this particular passage is where it's God says, don't be afraid, the Lord will be with you. My daughter Taylor, a few weeks ago, reminded us there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year, to remind you to say, God, you're in control. Whatever you're worried about, you got to trust him. Can I ask you a question? Has God ever lost a battle? No, he's never lost a battle. You may think he lost ground in a particular thing where you said you prayed and didn't get the exact answer you wanted in the time frame that you wanted it in. That does not mean God lost. That just means we don't understand yet. But God says, I love you so much. And he says, don't run from the battle. As a matter of fact, again, verse 17, you won't need to fight this battle, just stand strong. Spoiler alert, I read the last chapter of the book and we win. I'm just saying, it's a predetermined fight. This is WWE, okay? It's already predetermined. Some of you got that are wrestling fans. Anyway, listen, it's never God's will for us to fight on our own or worse yet, to run from every difficult situation. God's interested in our character, not in our comfort. So how do we stand when we want to run? Look at verse 20. This is what the Bible says. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be able to stand firm. That's how you do it. Believe in the Lord your God. That's stability. Believe in his prophets, and you'll succeed. People are looking for two things in life. Two things. Stability and success. And those two things are found in that one scripture. How to find stability and how to find success. Believe in who God is. That's where you get your stability. Believe in what God said through his prophets. That's the Bible. That's how you get success. So when we look at this, we got to ask God for help. We got to believe God can help. We got to confess we need God's help. We got to depend on him for help. And then next, we express. Letter E. Express thanks to God in advance. And in advance, by the way, is the key part of that. Express thanks to God in advance. That means before the problem's solved, you start thanking God for the victory in advance. Verse 21, look at this. Verse 21, the king chose men to be singers to the Lord. In other words, he developed a worship team. Pastor Adam, if you'd come as we close out. A worship team there to praise him because he's holy and wonderful. And they marched, look at this, in the front of the army. And said, thank the Lord because his love continues forever. Listen, this is a weird way to organize a battle. I don't think Schwarzkopf said, hey, before we go to Iraq, the best way we can take out the army. Anybody sing? Any singers? let's bring them up. Let's bring them to the front of the battle. No weapons. Don't put the M16s out first. We're going to put out some really good singers. And we're going to put them in the front of the army before everybody else. And we're going to send them out first. How many of you know, before they knew what was about to take place, and he said, how many singers we got in the joint? And people are like, yeah, I can sing. Sure, I can sing. I got a pretty good voice. I can carry a tune. They say, good. You're going in front of the army. They're like, I can't sing very good. I just sing in the shower. That's the way I do it. I'm not real good. I'm tone deaf. This is the weirdest battle plan. Getting a choir together? Nonsense. This is God's object lesson of how to worship him in advance. Get the picture. Here's the battle strategy. The odds are 3-1. Jehoshaphat puts a bunch of singers out in front. And he says, you're just going to start singing of the goodness of God. Thanking God in advance for what he's done. If you wait to thank God after the event, that's called gratitude. When you thank God in advance, that's called faith. Faith is the beginning of miracles. You don't have miracles without faith. You have to believe God first, and then he pours out. That's the way it happens every time. Now, let's look at this, because we want to honor God with our faith. But praise is verbalized faith. Your mouth determines your faith. Remember that guy in the scriptures that came across Jesus and he was asking for a miracle and he said, do you believe? Jesus asked. And he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm kind of like that guy. There's been so many times in my life where I've said, God, in the natural, I don't see it. I can't figure it out. I don't know how it's going to happen. But God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to thank you in advance. And sure enough, God somehow, some way comes through. Look at this, verse 22. At the moment. Everybody say at the moment. At the moment they began to sing and praise the Lord. Not them, not the fighters, not those that had all the weapons, not the strongest of the bunch. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to begin fighting. Look at this, among themselves, and they began destroying each other. That's my kind of battle, where all I got to do is sing and all my enemies kill each other. I mean, come on. That's a crazy battle. Ask God for help. Believe he can help. Confess you need his help. Depend on him to help. Express your thanks to God. Finally, find God's blessing. Write that down. Find God's blessing. Look at this final result, verses 25 and 26. Look at this. There was so much plunder after all of the armies had killed each other and the singers of Israel were just sitting, watching, and singing. They looked across the battlefield with all of these armies that had now been slain. And now all of the plunder, all of their goods, all of their food, all of their clothing, all of their armaments were just laying there ready for the taking. And it says there was so much plunder, it took them 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. 3 days just to collect it all. God wants to bless your life so much, you don't have room to carry it all. It goes on to say, on the fourth day, everyone gathered in what's now called the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. The Hebrew word there is barakah, which literally means blessing. And the story ends like this in verse 30. It's not in your notes, but verse 30 says, God gave them rest on all sides and surrounded them with peace. So I'm just going to pretend like each of you are sitting in this chair right here. And I'm just going to talk to you. I don't know what you've been through in your life. I don't know what you've been through this past week. I don't know if I'm talking to a single parent who feels like they're at their wit's end. I don't know if you've gone through a struggle in your marriage and it feels like there's no hope. I don't know what you're facing in your finances. Maybe your bills are piling up. Maybe when waiting on a promotion, you feel like you've been overlooked. But we're just sitting here having coffee, and I just want to remind you of the ABCs of God's grace. No matter what you're faced with today, the way to break patterns of worry, here's how it starts. I'm going to kind of close with this example. If you've ever been to the circus, you've seen massive elephants, you know, 1,000 pounds or more. These massive elephants that are strong, and they've got this rope tied to their leg, this tiny rope. And can I just say it like this? That began with a tiny elephant's mind. They say of an elephant, it never forgets. Can I just say it like this? Some of you have been conditioned to worry. You don't think that massive elephant with its strength and might could pull up a tent peg with a little rope tied to its leg? Of course it could. You want to know why it doesn't? Because it's been conditioned that it can't. Some of you in this room, your minds have been conditioned that you can't. Your minds have been conditioned because of your parents' parents, or however you've learned that when struggle comes, when stress comes, when all hell seems to be breaking loose, it's time to worry. Because worry accomplishes a lot, doesn't it? You've been trained that you're stuck. It's time to break the rope. You have all that you need. The Bible says you have all that you need for life and godliness. You have faith. And the Bible says even if it's small as a mustard seed, that's enough. That's enough. You have what you need. Now take action. And what I want us to do in this close is I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. And in a minute, I'm going to have you pray it out loud. But first, I want you to pray some things in your own heart. Because I know there's people in this room, you've been battling worry, you've been battling stress, you've been battling fear and doubt and unbelief, and you've had strife and you felt overwhelmed. Maybe some of you, you can't even sleep at night. You're so discouraged, maybe depressed. And it has taken epic proportions now. It's time to take a moment and break the rope that you believe has you bound for life. It's time to set you free today by God's grace and through faith. It's time to set you free. Would you bow your heads with me for this moment? And I want you to pray this silently first, just to God in your own mind, in your own heart. First, I want you to ask for God's help. Just say, God, I need your help in my life. Think about whatever your problem is, whatever your circumstance, whatever your issue. Just call that out before the Lord. God, I need your help right now with that problem, that situation. I'm going to ask you for help right now. And then next, believe he can handle what you're facing. So now you got that problem before God, and you're saying, God, I need your help. Now you're believing God can handle what you're facing. Say something like this in your own mind. Lord, I know there's nothing impossible with you. I know you've helped other people in the past. You've helped me in my past. So I'm asking you, do it again, Lord. Do it with me. I'm believing you can handle this situation. And then next, take the next step and confess that inadequacy. Just say, God, being honest before you, Lord, you know I have problems I can't handle. I need your help. I confess before you, Lord, my own inadequacy. My power is not strong enough. My strength is not strong enough. My ingenuity isn't going to save me. I need your help. Then next, I want you to just depend on God right now to save you. Put your dependence. I got a specific word for you today that I believe God's speaking to you. You need to know, the Lord says, the battle that you're fighting is not yours. It's mine, God says. Relax. Trust me. I'm still in control, God says. I want you to stand firm in quiet confidence and watch me handle it for you. So in your own heart right now, just say, Jesus, I give it to you. Come on, in your own way, your own word, just see yourself in your own way giving that to God, standing firm in quiet confidence, your dependence on God. Now I want you to begin to express your thanks to God in advance. I know maybe you don't feel the healing in your body. Maybe some of you do. Maybe a miracle's taking place right now in your physical body or in some other way. But I want you to, however you say it in thanks to God. Say, Jesus, you know what I've been overwhelmed by, but whatever it is that I'm facing today, even though I've been overwhelmed and worried, I don't think I can put one foot in front of the other. Today, I realize this is not my battle. It's yours. I give it up to you. I'm going to stop fighting in my own power. Instead, I'm going to trust you for the victory. Help me not to be afraid. Help me not to be discouraged. I believe today is the turning point, and I turn it all over to you. Thank you for the victory in advance. I thank you right now. I thank you for the answer in advance. I thank you for the solution in advance. In your own way, just begin to thank God in your own way. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you. You're big. You're powerful. You're good. And I can trust you. I thank you in advance. Thank you, God. And then finally, I want you to begin to find God's blessing in it as you give your whole life to him. I want to lead others to do the same, Lord. I'm taking this step in faith and thanking you in advance for working the whole thing out. And Lord, this is where I want to find your blessing, that it doesn't stop with me, but it becomes a testimony for me to share with others what you've done in my life. It all begins, God's blessing first begins in finding him. You don't find God's hand of blessing till you find his heart of love and forgiveness for you. So if you're in this room and you say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to make him Lord and Savior. What I want you to do is this. I want all of us to pray this prayer out loud together in faith. Can we say this out loud together? Just repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I make you Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. I choose to trust you with all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together and just celebrate those who made a decision for Christ? Come on. Man, God celebrates with you. And as I said, I encourage you right now, take this moment before we leave this place and take a moment and write in this commitment card. You've made a decision and you're not backing down. You're living out in faith, believing God. And we're going to come in agreement with you in that. There's a couple ways you can connect with us. One, these altars are open for you at the close of the service. I encourage you, take a moment and kneel before God. Maybe you've been saved believing God for years, but you're believing for something significant in 2019. Come and kneel at these altars and begin to pray. Others of you, you can take these cards, fill them out, leave them at the altar. Leave a prayer request at the altar. You can do that. We'll pick them up after service. Or you can meet with us out front. One of our ushers or our greeters, our pastors would be glad to take one of these cards that you've filled out. If you have filled out, especially those of you who need to be baptized, please let us know right away. We want to prepare in celebration with you. And you can invite friends and family members to celebrate with you. If you got prayer requests, you can put it on here, or you can write it on the back of this commitment card. Whatever it is, we want to know about your walk of faith in the Lord. The other thing I want to really encourage you to do is come out this evening. We want to launch strong. And we're going to launch in prayer, and I'm going to help you to begin to establish some goals. And I'm going to believe God with you for some amazing things in 2019. But I'm going to start with this. I want to read over you a prophetic word that I believe is going to change, kind of establish for you the beginning of 2019 this evening at 6 o'clock. So join us again, 6 o'clock. And I believe God's going to do some amazing thing. And then every day of this week, from Monday through Friday, not on Saturday, but Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 o'clock, join us. We're going to see God move together in faith. Have you enjoyed just sitting down and having coffee with me? I hope you did. Well, I'm going to release you with a blessing. And as I said before, those that are joining with us for the first time, my wife Michelle and I, it'll take us a moment just to slip it back here. And then we'll be out in the foyer at our Connection Cafe. If you don't mind waiting just a moment until we arrive, we'll be glad to greet you, connect with you. We won't take up a bunch of your time. We just want to bless you and give you a gift. So with that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write His name on your heart and declare, "You're my child. No one can take you from my hand." May you receive the blessing hand of God for 2019. May you know the hand of God is upon you. And may you walk in faith, knowing that who He established and what He's established is not going to end in vain. But who He established, that's you. And what He established, His word in you, will be complete. He begins and He starts with faith. And I release you in faith in Jesus' name to be a blessing to this city. I release you in faith to have faith in the one who can set you free. I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled day. We'll see you tonight at 6, and then we'll see you again throughout this week in celebration of what God's doing. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with Dothan First at dothanfirstassembly.org or follow us on social media. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we'd love to have you join us next Sunday at 10 a.m.